Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Please be seated. That is part of the greeting that St. Paul sent to the Church of Corinth in his second letter. And I should say that it's the second letter we have in the canon. It is thought that there may have been as many as four letters to the Corinthians. And there's debate over what order they were sent in. There's debate over whether the other two letters were of anything important. I remember in school asking my New Testament professor, what if they would find manuscripts for other letters of Paul to the Corinthians? Would they be included in the canon? And he was a very, very smart man. He kind of smiled and said, well, you know, it might have been just a laundry list, or like send me this, or say hi to so-and-so. He said if there were anything of import, they probably would not be inserted into the canon of Scripture, but he said, I'm sure they would be translated, printed, and would be bestsellers. Part of that makes 2 Corinthians difficult to understand, because Paul is talking insider knowledge. But before we get too deep into that, let's go back to our gospel. The seed that God provides is perfect. There's no question about that. The plan of salvation that God has given us through Jesus Christ is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to the human race. Susan and I were talking before the service about this term equity that's thrown around a lot these days. And, you know, equity is the equality of outcomes. Unfortunately, due to the fact that some of us aren't as smart as others, and I'll raise my hand, I'm not as smart as other people, not as talented as some other people, I will never be a classical guitarist. I would have loved to have been a classical guitarist, but no amount of training, love, force, whatever would make me a classical guitarist. But you know, where there is an equality of outcomes and where equity really stands tall is in salvation through Jesus Christ. We enter into salvation with all of our flaws, with all of our differences, with all of our shortcomings. And all of us who enter in, no matter what mess we're in, we get equality of outcome, and that we stand with God on the judgment day and can enter into his glory and wonderful love. Equity is a theological term and has been for centuries, because we know that God provides an equality of outcome. But again, that seed is perfect, but the soil sometimes needs some work. Now, I did most of my growing up in Northwest Ohio, which is farm country, and I was surprised how slightly emotional I got when I went back there in November for the first time in decades. But I remember the soil being prepared for planting, and it was a violent thing. These huge tractors, and I was fascinated by the tractors when I was a kid. Some of these huge four-wheel drive tractors with eight wheels, basically two axles and eight wheels, would have these plows, huge plows behind them, and would dig up the earth so much that chunks would fly up. It was a violent process. But you know what? That was the only way to till the soil so that the seed would take hold. Shooting forward to, well, let me back up just a little bit. Jesus provides the commentary on the parable. So I don't have to go into commentary on the parable today. I once heard a sermon, and it made me want to pull my hair out. A gentleman who was an extremely intelligent man, but not so much trained in, you know, the study of the Bible and theology, gave his own interpretation or his own commentary on the parable. And I just wanted to pull my face off because it was ridiculous. And I just wanted to say, brother, please, the commentary is a few verses down, and it was done by Jesus himself. Why don't we just let that be? He's a good guy, still around, never challenged him on it, but it's just like, oh, please, don't do this. You can't do better than what our Lord did a few verses ago, so I'm not going to try either. But the point being that soil is violently worked to receive the seed. Now, what do we see in Paul's life in 2 Corinthians? He's writing from Macedonia in the year 56, about 10 years before he was writing 2 Timothy, which we looked at last week. And we know he'd written at least one letter to them, and it was received okay. We read 1 Corinthians, there's a lot of theology, there's a lot of admonition, there's a lot of, like, hey, you know, you got to get it together on some of these things. So part of 2 Corinthians is him writing saying, look, you know, glad that you paid attention to some of it, glad that you're taking some of it in, some of it wasn't meant for all of you. Now, you remember when in first grade somebody cut up in class and we all got punished for it? He's trying to say, no, not necessarily all of you here. And he's talking about, you know, the church, and it's very personal, and he's talking about what he's gone through. But the passage that we use for our epistle today comes to the part where Rick mentioned a lot of false teachers had come into Corinth and were saying, yeah, this Paul guy, you don't need him. That is a heresy that's been around forever in the Christian church. This is AD 56, and he's writing to people who are kind of like our modern televangelists, you know, that ride around in Bentleys and Rolls Royces and have their own private jets and, you know, are flashy. And it happens in all kinds of churches. It's not just in your health and wealth gospel. There are churches where they pride themselves on the glory of their vestments and on the beauty of their sanctuary. And I see nothing wrong with that if that is a reflection of the message of God. But if it's, hey, look at how flashy we are, and you people down there at that little Anglican offshoot, you're just a bunch of hicks and hillbillies, you know, and what do you... I actually had an Episcopalian say that one time, you know, look at your church and look at mine. Okay, well, I'm looking at the gospel. I hope you look at it too. But Paul in this section is refuting some of those people. And, you know, they were saying, Paul's ugly. He's a scrawny little guy. He's a big nose. I don't know if they were saying that, but, you know, he doesn't speak like a Greek orator. You know, they didn't have TV or TikTok or whatever people look at these days for entertainment. So traveling musicians, but also traveling orators were a big deal. And if they could speak in very flowery and very beautiful and very eloquent ways, people would put money in their cup. It was like going to see, you know, a performer. And these guys were saying, look at us, we're rich, we got good clothes, we got nice stuff, and we speak well, give us money, 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 money. And Paul in the book says, hey, I could have asked for money, and it would have been my right as I was helping form your soil to receive the seed that you could have paid me, but I didn't. Other people, and he uses the term robbed. I robbed other people. Now that's hyperbole, but he's saying, I took money from other people so I could take care of you when you had the money to take care of me. So don't be saying this stuff. But then they would counter with, well, any speaker who's worth his salt takes money. That was the thing. If you spoke for free, you were just like the, you know, guy down on the corner with his scratchy guitar and bad voice, and, you know, maybe you'd get a quarter, maybe not. But if you weren't charging for your speaking, people assumed you weren't any good. And Paul said, okay, yeah, I know. I am not the most eloquent speaker. I wasn't trained in that. However, I was trained in the scriptures. I had a Bible college professor in Mexico tell me he'd come across a commentary that estimated that Paul's academic credentials would have been at least 3 modern doctoral degrees, and that he probably spoke at least 5 languages. The man was a genius. And you see in Acts the Roman authorities saying, hey, your great learning has made you mad. It's made you crazy. Paul was considered a great intellect, but he wasn't much to look at, and he wasn't much to listen to. And in other places, namely Philippians chapter 3, he gave his credentials as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, someone who had been raised up in the Jewish tradition, in the scriptural tradition, because remember, like we said last week, the only scriptures they had were the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, and Paul was sure that that focused on Jesus. And he said, study the scriptures inside and out because it will point you to Jesus. He was talking about the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. Well, Paul gets down to this passage that we looked at today. And he talks about all the trouble he'd been in, all the difficulty. Now, if I show up for a job, let's say for whatever reason I decide to go work for another hospice, and they say, well, tell us about yourself. And I say, well, I got teased in school and got beat up a couple times and got detained by the Border Patrol once and, slept outside a couple of times. And, you know, I've had kind of a rough life. They're not going to hire me. They want to hear, what's your education? What's your experience? Well, Paul's putting up his resume. It's like, I was shipwrecked 3 times. I was beaten with whips and rods. He said, I was abused horribly by both people who were supposed to be my brethren and people who weren't. People who were supposed to be Christian teachers but were false teachers. And he's giving that as his resume because he says, I glory in those things. Now, I want to keep it brief because it's Communion Sunday. But I want to say this, the most important thing. We don't necessarily have to go through the same horrible persecution that Paul went through to become soil that is ready to receive the Word of God. But Paul gloried in all this stuff because it kept him humble. And all he was focused on was presenting Jesus to the world, and he even died for it according to tradition. If your soil is hard, it might be really tough for the Lord to bust it up if you resist. Make your soil soft. Soften your heart to the Lord so that his seed may always take root within you and produce good fruit. Always remember and think about who Paul was. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was killing Christians. He was a hard-hearted man. But he gloried in his tribulations because it softened his heart. Not just to receive the salvation of Christ, but to go forward as a minister, forming the Christian lives of the people whom he loved. He would not have been a celebrity in his day. Sometimes, well, some years ago when I was just out of seminary, I would go to a lot of different churches if I was traveling, and I picked up in that time that Paul had become almost more popular than Jesus in the evangelical church. I would hear people referring to Paul. Paul said this. Paul said this. Paul thinks this. And I wanted to stand up and say, hey, who is Paul talking about? The only thing Paul wanted to do was reflect what Jesus had taught in his gospels and had taught him in the Spirit. Paul didn't care about himself. He would be horrified that in the 20th century that some churches had made him a celebrity, because that wasn't what he was about. He was about letting himself be softened to receive the Word of God and proclaiming that same softening to others. Like I said last week, we've got a good here. We've got a real good. But we do have our hardships. We do have our sadnesses that are universal. And we have lots and lots of people around us who we are often blind to the poverty, to the mental health issues, to the physical health issues, to the relational issues that people have among families and relationships and friends. As God softens our soil, the soil of our hearts, to receive his message always, let us always as well let our hearts be softened towards those who might need to receive that message and receive whatever assistance we can give them. Again, we all have equity in Jesus Christ. We are all loved by Jesus Christ. Let us soften our hearts. Let our soil be ready to receive. And may we, in that posture, present the same wonderful message and seed to those whom God is preparing in their soil. Let us pray.
Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank you for the parables and the teachings of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for St. Paul and his wonderful surrender to you. And Lord, I also thank you that I don't have to go through or haven't had to go through the things he did, but always remind me to keep my heart soft and my soil ready to receive. And may I be there to help people whose seeds you are ready to plant, your seed ready to plant in them, that my soil may bear good fruit. And as they come into my path, that I might assist them to know you, to know your peace, and to know you as the God of all comfort. Amen.